Well, praise the Lord. Can you all hear me? If you can hear me, just type a one in the room. Amen. Well, blessed greetings, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's indeed a great privilege and an honor, once again, after a long, long time, being back again into the Full Gospel Ministries room. Well, what I mean by long, long time is because normally when the room starts on Tuesday, it's nearly 12:30 here, 12:30 a.m. here in India. But praise God that I'm here, and praise God that we are all together. Praise God we have the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead. Amen. Well, before getting into the word, I would like to say a few things what the Lord has pondered me in my heart to say. Well, dear brothers and sisters, especially the Full Gospel Ministries room and the saints of the Full Gospel Assembly, I thank each one of you for all your prayers and ministry and being faithful towards God's work, especially in India. Thank each one of you that the ministry is really, really being blessed, and we are able to serve the Lord by taking up the shield of faith and glorifying the name of the Lord. And thank you each one of you, especially in the name of Jesus. And I thank the heart that the Lord has given each one of you. Well, the word for the meditation today is Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. I would like to read from the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verses 1 to 8. Thank you, Jesus. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took each of them as wives which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, but he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in and unto the daughters of men, they bare children unto them, and became mighty, which were old men. Old men and men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Father, we know that it's your word alone that can make us live. Your word alone, O Lord, that can sustain us, that can strengthen us. Father, tonight I pray for each and every brothers and sisters that are present in this room, and present at the house, Full Gospel Assembly in Surrey. Father, I pray for each one of them. It's a great privilege and fellowship that thou had given us, and we are related by the blood on the cross. Father, thank you for bringing us together, and thank you for fellowshipping with each one of us, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time. Let your name alone be glorified. Holy Spirit, come and take control. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, when we read the scripture from verses 6 to 8, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart, for the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and the beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them all. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we all know that we are in the last days. We know every single day the situations that we go through. Every single day, everything that comes across our lives, we thank the Lord. When we are sick, when we fall down, when we are drowned, when we go through circumstances, we say, thank you, Jesus. You know, why do we say that? We say that because we know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. Paul says, I count it all joy when I go through rigorous troubles and temptations, when I go through various problems. I count it all joy. That's what Paul says. Well, amen. We all know that the coming of the Lord is at hand, and we know everywhere we are listening, everywhere we could hear, any man of God, any minister is shouting aloud and saying that the Lord is coming very soon. And at this moment of time, there is something very much important to be noticed. Praise God. We have a great hope, and the hope is in Christ. We have the hope of the heaven. We all are waiting for some greater reward. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. Well, one thing which is important is the Lord created this whole world during the days of Noah. When we read the word of God clearly remains as telling that the days of the Son of Man will be like the days of the Noah. Well, the coming of Christ will be the days of Noah. That's what the scripture remains to us and makes us remember, makes us to ponder it. And here we see in the days of Noah something very, very tragic has happened. And what has happened? And the Lord saw, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and every imagination and thought of it was only evil continually. This is what the Lord is saying. So now God is looking onto the earth. There were giants on earth in those days, and also after that the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they were bare children. Everybody were marrying and living their lives, having a campaign. Completely the life was, you know, they were not remembering what is going to happen. They were completely living in their own world. They're having their own realm. People were enjoying, people were spending life. Oh, come on, cool. Oh, it's nice. Things were going on like that. None were bothered about the coming of the Lord. I mean, they knew that the Lord was coming, but none were literally really very careful or really in a stage of attention where they were focusing onto the Lord, the author and the finisher of their faith. At that moment of time, the Lord is looking on this earth and he's seeing the earth was completely full of wickedness. All the thoughts and imaginations of man's heart was completely against the will and the promises of God. Amen. So, and now the Lord, as he is looking onto this earth, now he's telling, why did I create? How would a mother ever say to her son, or the one she gives birth to, her, why did I give birth to you? That will be the worst situation a son or a daughter can ever get from a mother. A mother was looking at her son and saying, I wish I could have given birth to a stone instead of you. Because she could sense that her son did not understand her feeling. She was sensing that her son was not able to come into a place to see what her mother was going through. Now, same way the Creator is looking at the creation. The same God that created this world is now looking at his own creation that he has created to glorify his name, a creation to be the group of overcomers. Now he is looking at that, what he has created through his spirit. Now what man? That's what the Lord is thinking. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. But we see in the scripture very, very clearly in the verses 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The most important and the predominant thing that each and every one of us have to come into a place in these last days, so we call it, so we hear it, so we confess it, so we say to everyone that we are in the last days. So the most important thing is, are we found grace in the eyes of the Lord? The word grace literally means, as we know, the free and unmerited favor, what God gives, or beneficence of God towards us, towards each one of us. Praise be to Jesus. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we know it very, very clearly. We read in the verses 6, out of this situation, the Lord was looking onto the face of this earth. The world was full of sin. Again, I want to read the scripture back again. We see, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented, and it repented the Lord that why he had created man on his own on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy the man whom I have created from the face of this earth, both man and the beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, and for it repenteth me that I have made them. But look at that. Look at that, wonderful. Here it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So my dear brothers and sisters, we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord in these last days. Now the world is completely going to be ruined. The world is going to be completely destroyed. Are we found grace in the eyes of the Lord? We read that God's displeasure with the world and its wickedness. God was having a complete displeasure in verses 5 and 7, 5 to 7. But God pronounces a judgment upon the world and prepares to destroy it with flood. We find encouraging words back again, a little scripture in verses 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is simply means that Noah found favor in God's sight. And we know the result of that. We know the result of the favor. What was the result of that favor that Noah had? Escape for him and for his family from the flood. But why Noah? What did Noah do to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? How might we apply this situation today in our lives? Why did God choose only Noah? Why was only Noah chosen? And why was only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why not anybody else? What was the reason? Bible clearly, profoundly says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, in these last days, is the grace of the Lord upon me? Is the free, unmerited favor upon me? Is the beneficence of God upon my life? This is what is very much important. And we know, as we are the soldiers of the cross, as we take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it might sound to be really, really hard. It might seem, when it comes to our own shoes, to experience something that we have not experienced before into a place completely where we're going to die, it might be tough. But praise God, when you have the grace of God upon your life, when you come into a place to experience something where God's grace is upon your life, you will surely be lifted up. Amen. Praise be to Jesus. Well, now we see, why did God choose only Noah in the last days? And why was the grace of the Lord upon Noah? Why was the eyes of the Lord upon Noah? This is what is very much important. We read in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 9. This is what the word says. The first and the foremost reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 and verses 9. These are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a man. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation, and Noah walked with God. See, the first and the foremost reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord was this. Here we read it very clearly that Noah was a just man. Some translations say that he's a righteous man. This is likely refers to his moral relationship with God. This likely refers to his moral relationship with God, which means he had a direct intimacy with God. He did never hide anything. He was completely righteous. He's completely pure, that he was transparent, that God can see through. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verses 3 that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and good. Now here is the Lord looking clearly onto the face of this earth. The Lord could see the whole world was completely with wickedness. All the imaginations of the heart and motives of men were completely wicked and ruined. Here the Lord is directly able to see somebody that's very transparent, that he can see through into the heart. He can directly say, this man was a just man. Amen. Because it is a righteous man, a man that did not have anything that will cheat somebody, a man that did not have anything in his heart that will be in a place where somebody else will be ruined, but he was completely transparent. Amen. Today, transparency is very much important. To be open, to be righteous before the Lord is very much important. Jesus tells, "Be righteous, for I am righteous." Well, we know it's very tough in this walk to walk as righteous, to walk transparent, to have a moral relationship with God. But one thing, as we have the Holy Spirit of God, as we have the Spirit of God leading us, as we have the Holy Spirit motivating us, as the Holy, we have the Comforter guiding us completely into the all truth, we will be able to be in a place where Jesus looks at Nathanael and says, "Oh, for this is a true Israelite, I don't find any fault in this man." There's a voice in the clouds that is saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, hear, O Israel, I have never found a faith of this man, faith like this ever in the history of Israel." That's what Jesus is telling. See, we can see different kinds of testimonies about people, and Jesus himself had a very greater testimony. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Now the Lord is looking. This man had a moral relationship with God. His intimacy with the Lord was completely immense blessing. He always had a fellowship with the Lord that has a direct access into his presence. When we pray, when we look to the Lord, we need to come into a place where we have a breakthrough. Amen. Where we get into a place where we directly look to the Lord, and the Lord will be open to see us completely. Are we praying with a true heart? Are we praying with a heart of real forgiveness? Are we praying with a pure heart where the Lord can see directly into our heart and say, "Yes, he's a perfect man. He's the right man that I need." We could see Noah was a just man. He is righteous. And here also we see he had a moral relationship with God. That's what we read in the scripture. Chapter 9, that Noah was, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Next he says, and perfect in his generation. And perfect in his generation. What does it mean by perfect? Number one, he was a just man. Number two, he was a man that is blameless. That's what it means. Perfect in his generation. Being perfect means being blameless. Translations like NIV translate it like blameless. Not that he was sinless, but there was no blatant faults in his life. He was a man of moral integrity among all the people. He had a complete integrity with everyone. Nobody could ever pinpoint him. Nobody could ever lift their finger upon him and say, "Hey, this is a man. I find fault in this man." He lived a blameless life. He never brought shame to the name of the Lord. So many times we live a life where we put shame to the Lord. So many times we be Christians and we walk with Jesus. We do everything what the Lord wants. That's what we believe. But at the end of the day, we see God is really, really feeling upset about what we are doing. The Lord is saying, "Why did I do this? Why did I choose this generation? Why did I create this kind of people?" That's what happened when Saul became the king of Israel. Saul began to walk according to his own principles. Saul began to do according to his own thoughts. When he became a king, he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to become a king. I'm the Benjaminite. I belong to the lowest tribe. I belong to the 12 tribes and the 12th tribe, and my family is the smallest, and I'm the smallest man." He was very humble. The moment God made him the king, he forgot who made him the king. He literally started doing everything on his own. He started acting on his own. What happened? What did God do? Now Samuel is coming to him and saying, "I really broken in my heart. Why did I make you a king? Because you're bringing a shame to the name of the Lord your God." See, Noah was perfect in all his generations. He was a man of moral integrity among people. He was having peace with everyone. Nobody will ever come and pinpoint and say, "This man is like this." He had peace. Do you really have peace with your fellow brethren? Do you really have that peace with everyone around you? Do you have that integrity with everyone around you? Are we in a place, you know, blame? Well, if somebody believing in the name of the Lord will come and blame you, well, that might be taken to one chance. If somebody outside who do not know Jesus Christ will come and say, hey, you have done this, you have done that, how do you feel about it? We feel so upset when somebody that do not believe the Lord itself comes and pinpoints and says, you have done this against the Lord, how do you feel it? We feel it so upset. The reason you feel it so upset because, you know, somebody is coming and pinpointing you and that person do not believe in the Lord is pinpointing you. It upsets us. It breaks our heart because we have to live Jesus in our lives. We have to manifest the fullness of Christ in our lives. We have to manifest Christ through our work, through our talk, through our actions, through everything that we do. It's not that we become, you know, pinpointed. Well, we know this walk is tough. Sometimes we might have our own weaknesses. But the Bible says, in your weakness, I'm your strength. The word of God clearly says to Paul, Paul, in your weakness, I'm your strength. Paul, in your weakness, I'm your strength. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. It is through him. It is through his grace. It is through his love. It is through his power. It is through him completely. It's not me working. It's not me doing. It's not me moving. It's everything the Lord doing it. Amen. Who said you can't do it? Who said you can't live a blameless life? You can. When you have completely the Lord and the Spirit of God having authority over you, you will be in a place where nobody can ever, ever, may be a somebody who does not believe in the Lord, even if he tries to put his finger upon you, he will never put it because the Lord knows. Amen. So number one, Noah was a just man. Number two, he was perfect in all his generations. Number three, Genesis chapter 6 verses 9, the same verse. Here again we read the scripture. So Noah was a just, Noah walked with God. One of the men that we always talk about, the man that walked with God, was Enoch. Enoch walked with God. That's what we say always. But here we see Noah walked with God. This is how he manifested his righteousness and integrity. In walking with God, he imitated the example of Enoch, his grandfather. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. Here the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verses 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. See, Enoch completely walked with God. That's what Genesis 5:24 says. So Noah imitated his grandfather in his walk with God. Today, walking with the Lord is very much important in every single thing, in every single aspect of life. Walking with God, in Noah's case, likely involved calling upon the name of the Lord, which began in the days of Seth, and offering sacrifices to God, which began in the days of Cain. When we read in Genesis chapter 4 and verses 26, and as for Seth, to him also the son was born, and he named him Enosh. The man began to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we read in the word, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, and in the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought a firstborn of the flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel's offering, and they call upon the name of the Lord. See, we see here very clearly that Noah walked with God. Every time Noah opened his mouth to talk to the Lord was very willing to talk to him. Every single step that he did in his life, he began to ask the Lord. He didn't do anything on his own. He completely relied on the Lord. That's the reason Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everything he did, he walked with God. He moved into the tune of God. Every single aspect of his life, he said, Lord, this is the situation. What should I do in this situation? This is my place where I am, and what should I do, Lord? What are you talking through this situation? Where should I go? How should I move? Please tell me. Walk with the Lord. I've heard of an old song, walking with the Lord, you're walking with the Lord. Walking with him in the morning, walking with him in the evening, walking with him every single moment of the day of time. Because you know, you can never walk. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. because you, the Lord will be with you when you begin to walk with Him. Stay tuned, my dear brothers and sisters. When we stay tuned to God's word, when we stay tuned to God's voice, when we stay tuned, just keep listening to the word, keep listening to what God wants to tell us, we will be able to walk with God. Amen. We will be able to walk with God, and we will be able to please God in every single step that we take. The Lord is knocking at the door. He is still waiting to listen. Who is wanting to listen to Him? Who is wanting to hear His voice? He's knocking. Sometimes our ears become deaf. The spirit of the world is causing blindness to the eyes of many, that they are not able to listen to the divine truth of God. The spirit of the world is causing blindness to their eyes and deafness to their ears, that they are not able to see, hear the voice. Bible says, my sheep shall hear my voice. My sheep shall hear my voice. Glory to God. We have the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a spirit that makes us walk with Him. Amen. The Holy Spirit will make us walk with God. The Holy Spirit will provoke us when we go wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell us that we are going wrong. The Holy Spirit will make us know where we have fallen down. Every single thing will be made known to us as we go along in our lives. Isn't that a privilege, my dear brothers and sisters? Look at this. In these last days, am I finding grace in the eyes of the Lord? I don't want anything. I don't want riches. I don't want wealth. I don't want to be something or somebody. All I want is, in whatever I do, in these last days, am I able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Is the Lord able to look at me and be pleased? 24 hours a day, I keep working and working and working. Again, I come back, I spend time with the Lord. Again, 24 hours, I keep working and working and working. Whatever you do, is the Lord pleased? Whatever I do, is the Lord pleased? Is the Lord satisfied with what we are doing? Is the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful? Is the Lord open? If He is able to open His mouth and comment upon us like that. Everything that we do, the Lord needs to be happy with it. And the most important thing is the grace. We need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. When you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you'll be able to grow up higher and higher into the spiritual level. In the spiritual level of our growth will increase and increase and increase, and we will come into a level where the Lord wants us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, number four. The fourth reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's read Genesis chapter 6 and verses 22. The fourth reason why Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where nobody were able to be found, the Lord wanted to destroy everyone, but there is one but, and that but is this: thus Noah did according to all that what the Lord commanded him or said he should do. Let's also read Genesis chapter 7 and verses 5. Let's also read Genesis chapter 7 and verses 5. And Noah did according to the Lord command. Noah did according to all that the Lord has commanded him. Genesis 7:5. Well, twice this is emphasized in the scriptures. One is in Genesis 6:22 and Genesis 7:5. We learn from the writer in Hebrews that the obedience of Noah came from faith. He was so obedient. He was so obedient. Very, very obedient. Implicit obedience. He did everything. He didn't even leave one thing. It says all that the Lord commanded, all that. So the Lord commanded, so many commandments that the Lord has given. The Bible says clearly he did everything that the Lord wanted him to do. Many times in our lives, this is the greatest hindrance. See, we live a just life. We live a perfect life in our generations, which we be blameless. We walk with God, praise God. But one thing where we fall is we fall in doing everything what the Lord wants us to do. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with a godly fear and prepared an ark for saving his household. Look at this obedience, my dear brothers and sisters. He didn't say, why should I make an ark? He didn't say, oh Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Lord, am I going to be mad? What are you going to tell me, Lord? How can I make an ark? He didn't say that. He just implicit obedience, just obeyed just like that. He didn't turn back. He didn't say, oh Lord, come on, how can I make an ark? He just did implicit obedience. This is what is very much important. In our Christian faith, look at the scripture, Hebrews 11 and verses 7, very clearly tells us, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with a godly fear, prepared an ark for saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness according to faith. Hallelujah. Praise be to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. What a promise that is. He did according to that what the Lord has commanded him. He never questioned. He never said why. He never said what's happening. He never said, what are you going to do with me, Lord? Look at this. The Lord has given 10 talents. The man that has got one talent, he did completely. As the Lord, as the owner of the house, returned back, he said, I know that you're a cruel master. I know that you will ask, why did I make it into two? That's what he would ask. Look at that. He's trying to question the Lord. There's so many times in our lives we come into this place where we begin to ask questions. How can you and I ever ask questions to the Creator? We need to just keep quiet, just completely keep quiet. Come into a place, just stop and just say, Lord, help me in this situation. Lord, I know that you alone can help me in this situation. You alone can make me walk in this situation. You alone can manifest your mercy in this situation. Lord, you have commanded and I go forth. You have commanded and I go forth. The Lord spoke to Abraham. Look at that. The Lord spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I need Isaac. I need Isaac, Abraham. That's what the Lord said. Now Abraham has made Isaac sleep. The Abraham has made everything ready for slaying down Isaac. Abraham had made everything ready. He was going to slay down. Look at that. He didn't look back. He didn't ask any questions. He just lifted his hand up. He took the sword up. He was literally going to kill. He was going to kill. Praise be to Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look at that. We learn that this obedience of Noah came from faith. He was completely believing. That's the reason he became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. He did according to the Lord everything the Lord has commanded. Today, are we able to walk according to what the Lord has asked us? Are we able to walk and live a life what the Lord wants us? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, number one, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was a just man. Number two, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was a blameless man, a perfect man in his generation. Number three, Noah walked with God. Number four, Noah did everything what the Lord has commanded him. Number five, finally, we read in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of ungodly. Bringing the flood on the world of ungodly. 2 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5. Again, I repeat it. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of ungodly. Well, he has not only lived a righteous life, but he also proclaimed the need for righteousness, even though he lived in a very ungodly world. Look at this. Amen. Praise be to God. So finally, my dear brothers and sisters, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he not only lived a righteous life, but he proclaimed the need for righteousness, even though he lived in an ungodly world. Noah certainly was an unusual man, but perhaps we see well why only he and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What about yourselves? Is there a need for us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord today? Is there a need for each one of us to find grace in the eyes of the Lord today? Yes, we need to preach the righteousness of Christ. If you want to ever find grace in the eyes of the Lord, you might be the fish in the sea. Every time I tell a fish in the sea, if you remove a salt water, look at the density of the sea. The salt is very, very salty. The moment you remove the fish out of the salt water and you cut it into pieces, you see it doesn't sound salty. It doesn't taste salty. You are living in the world of ungodliness. We are living in the world of ungodliness. The enemy is trying to attract us. The enemy is trying to pull us. The enemy is trying to distract us and put our attention completely on the focuses of this world. He does not want us to completely embrace God. He does not want us to throng to Jesus. He wants to pull us away from the Lord. Every single day we see lots of things coming up, either in technology, either in science, either in medicine. Everything that's coming to hinder our faith towards the living God. But we know one truth. The truth is, you have the Comforter to guide you. You have the Spirit of God to guide you. You have the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. You have the Spirit of God to set us free. You have Jesus who sets you free. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. My dear brothers and sisters, we see that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We need to preach the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be in tears to proclaim with fire and authority the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand and enforce the powerful word of righteousness of Christ so that every dead bone and every dry bone will come into life. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus is going to do that. Jesus is going to manifest his work through you and through me. Here he says, in the last days will I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Young men shall see visions. Young women shall prophesy. The old shall dream dreams. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to ignore you. My dear brothers and sisters, the five reasons. We read that the world, God had a displeasure upon the world. He wanted to destroy the world because of the wickedness. God pronounces judgment upon the world. Prepares to destroy it with a flood. But we find an encouragement even in that destruction. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is simply that Noah found grace in his sight. Not only that, he was saved. His family was saved from flood. What is the reason? Why was Noah saved from the flood? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? It is because the word says he was a just man. Number two, he was a blameless man or a perfect in his generation. Number three, he walked with God. Number four, he did everything what the Lord has commanded him. Not only that, number five, he preached the righteousness of Christ. Why do we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord today, my dear brothers and sisters? You might be having a question in your life. Why do I need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Not because we face threat. Not because we face a threat of a worldly flood. Not because you know that there's going to be hell. After Noah and his family were saved from the flood, God promised that he would never again destroy the world in such a manner. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 11. God spoke to Noah and his sons with saying, "As for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you, with your descendants after you. And every living creature that is with you, the birds and the cattle and beast on the earth." The rainbow was a consistent reminder of God's promises. Today you do not need the grace of the Lord because you're going to have a threat in your life. But because you face the promise of the end of the world. You need grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's because you and I today face the promise of the end of the world. Peter reminds us that just as the world was once destroyed by water, so it will be destroyed by fire when Jesus returns. When you read 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 3 to 13, this is what he says. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 3 to 13. Knowing that the first scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying Where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, these things continue. Glory to God. Here we clearly read, knowing this first, the scofferers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this is they willfully forgot, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth was standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world and then existed and perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are preserved by the same word, reserved of fire until the judgment, prediction of ungodly men. But beloved, do not fight for one this thing, that the day of the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. The day of the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that we should perish, that all should come into repentance. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord is not coming because we all have to come into a repentance. That everyone needs to come into repentance. In the view of this promise, Peter calls upon being diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot or blameless. That's what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be found in the peace, without spot and blameless. Just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so we need to find peace in him, without spot or blamelessness. Hallelujah. Is this not simply another way of saying that, like Noah, we need to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Indeed it is. When the end of the world comes, we better be in a condition where we too find the grace in the eyes of the Lord. Otherwise, we will be like those that left aside of the ark in the floods, banging at the door. Noah, Noah, open the door. Hallelujah. How can we find grace in the eyes of the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters? We can find grace when we live a life which is just, when we live perfect in our generations, when we walk with God, when we do all things what the Lord has commanded, when we preach his righteousness. Hallelujah. Fortunately, the good news of the gospel is that God sent his only Son to make us just. This is a blessing that is available to demonstrate faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Being justified, we can have the peace with God. That's what we read in Romans 5 and verse 1. Hallelujah. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us seek the face of the Lord. Let us seek his mercy. The Lord will look unto us so that his grace will shine upon each one of our lives. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, Lord. We need your mercy. We want you to come soon, Lord Jesus. We want you to come soon, Father. We want you to manifest your mercy upon each one of us. Lord, as you look onto this earth, let us find grace in your eyes. Let us not be the ones that perish, Father. Let us not be the ones that are left out. But we know, Father, you love us. We know, Lord, we have that great hope that we will be with you. We know that you are the one that is looking onto each and every one of us. You know our weaknesses. You know our sicknesses. You know that we know the things that we cannot tolerate. You know the things that we go through. You know the pain that we go through. You know the agony that we go through. We know that this walk of faith is tough. You know this cross is tough, Lord. But you know, we know one thing. The one that has called us will never forsake us. The one that has called us will surely lift us up. We know that our Redeemer lives, and one day we will see him face to face. Hallelujah. Father, manifest your mighty work upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Let your word be manifested, Lord. Let your works be manifested, Father. Let us see your hand moving upon each and every one of our lives. Let us see the hand of Jesus Christ touching us. Let us see the power and the anointing flow through us in Jesus' name. Let us see, Father, that you will break the strongholds that are trying to hinder us. For we are not fighting against the flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. Be broken in Jesus' name. Father, let your mighty works begin to work in our lives. Let us be, O Lord, a powerful preachers of righteousness in these last days for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, Lord. Release in Jesus' name. Release your anointing, Lord. Thank you, Father, upon my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time. In Jesus' almighty name I pray.